So grab your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 9 today. Luke chapter 9.
No. Technology couch.
Luke 9. We're going to look at the topic of should we be committed? You can take that to mean whatever you want. Luke chapter 9. I love this very wonderful record in Luke that I think of this quite often and thought it was a good place to start. Luke 9:57 says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." You know, it was quite, "Oh yeah, I'm with you all the way." "And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." In other words, it's not an easy road, right? You want to follow me? It's not that easy of a road. Think about it before you say, "Yeah, I want to follow you." Luke 59, "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead of the town bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." You see, as each one of these guys comes to him, or people come to him, there's one thing Jesus Christ demanded of each one of them: commitment. He wasn't looking for someone to say, "Oh, you know, we'll just try this thing out." And, you know, he says, "Look, you want to follow me? Sometimes I don't even have a place to sleep. I don't even have a place to put my head down. You want to, before you say you're going to follow me, think about it." The other guy says, "Let me do this." He goes, "Okay, look, you want to, you know, you can't be entangled with the things in life. You want to follow me? You let the town deal with the dead. And you just follow me." Right. The next one's my favorite. Verse 61. "Another said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." In other words, you follow me? You follow me, and that's the end of it. Right? I love that. No man, it's kind of visual picture, you know, the guy's on the plow and he's kind of looking back. "I wish I wasn't here." Right? He says, "You want to follow me? It requires commitment." Right? It's a commitment. It's not just a, "Well, you know, let's just see what happens, see how it goes. You never know, you know, it's just one of those wishy-washy." And that's unfortunately the way a lot of people are in life. Look at Numbers chapter 23. You see, God is committed to his word. There's no question on God's part. Numbers 29:3. It says in verse 19, a verse you all know, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" You see, God is committed to his word. When God says this is true, then he says, "If I've said it, that's it. You don't have to look anywhere else." And, you know, even it's interesting that verse says, "I'm not like men," right? Who will have a tendency to say, "Yeah, this is true," but it ends up being a lie. God's not that way. He's committed. When God says this is it, and that's it. There's nowhere else to go or that you need to go. In Psalm 138. In fact, he's so committed to his word that he says this about it. In 138 verse 1, "I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." God has magnified his word above all his name. That's how committed he is to his word. You can count on his word being true, and you can count on him backing it up, and you can count on him following through with what he says he's going to do. Right? That's his commitment to us. He says, "This is my word. I'm not a man that I should lie. And I, in fact, I have magnified it above my name." That's how important God says he thinks it is. in Romans 4. You know, I know we could go to many verses about, you know, purified in a furnace, it's tried, you know. And I'm sure you know that we could read all of Psalm 119, yeah? And we could see all the things that God talks about, how wonderful and faithful His Word is. Romans 4, talking about Abraham. As it is written, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Right? Here it says that God was able to say, this is true, in fact, because it hadn't happened yet. Why? Because he honors his word. When he's given his word, it's like, that's the end of it. That's the truth. That is going to happen. So when Abraham, even when he hadn't had the children yet, he could count on it. Because God had told him, this is my word. And we just read, he's not a man that he should lie. He honors his word. When he says this in his word, that's exactly what happened. So God is allowed to call those things which be not as though they were. That's why, you know, when you have a physical problem, you are allowed to say, I am healed. Right, you might still feel the pain. You might still not feel very well. But you, biblically, spiritually speaking, are allowed to take the stand of saying, I am healed. Right? Why? Because God in His Word says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. Right? That's what the Word says. So you can call those things which be not as though they were, and you're in good company. Right? Because God does that. And he says, you're allowed to do this. Because for you, I have done this. Now you can claim it and walk on it. Right? That's what it says. Look at Hebrews 11. Another verse that says a similar thing. Hebrews chapter 11. You see, it may not be as a blessing to be able to say that when you're sick, to say, I am healed, and you're still coughing and hacking or have a headache or a sore throat or whatever. You may think, well, this is some kind of mind game. Yeah, and it would be a mind game if it was some kind of silly, worldly, you know, self-help course to build up your confidence in yourself, right? But the difference is, these promises we're talking about are based on the work of Jesus Christ, His walk, His death, His resurrection, ascension, and His seating on the right hand of God. That underlies those truths. It's not some mind game. It is a truth, right? And you can count on it more than the truths that you might get in some, you know, self-help course. It is a truth. The undergirding of that truth is God Himself and Him saying, look, if I've said it, I'm not a man that I'm going to lie. You can count on it, right? And it's up to us now to say, it's up to us now to come in agreement with His Word. See, we're looking at God being committed to His Word. The second part of this teaching is, how committed are you and me to His Word? Right. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith or believing is the substance of things hoped or prayed for, the evidence of things not, what? Seen. Isn't that just like we read in Romans? He calls those things which be not as though they were. And if you were to read through the rest of Hebrews 11, you'll see many fine examples, those cloud of believers, right? The cloud of witnesses that were able to say, yeah, I see that, but it hadn't happened yet. And the ultimate I see that they were talking about was the coming one, that someday the Lord would come back. And on their way to that ultimate coming one, the promise, which we still have today, they were able to go through the what I call many hopes and many purposes of life that happened, like leaving Egypt, like, you know, quenching fire in a fiery furnace, or having lions not eat them, right? Or wandering about in goat skins, or, you know, turning away your back to the riches of Egypt and counting the reproach of Christ of greater value. All those things that they were able to do because they looked ahead to that promise, which yet, had they seen it? No. They hadn't yet seen it, but they were able to call those things which be not as though they were through believing. Right? Believing. They saw it. They believed. Right? And that's how we turn the truths of God's word into actual reality, by literally believing those promises. And that requires commitment, right? No man having put his hand, you don't just say, well, I'll give it a try for a few minutes. See what happens. You never know. You know, I always have the doctor as a backup. You know? And that's maybe the way we think. But God requires us to say, look, me first, right? I'm committed to my word. Now you be committed to me, right? And Jesus Christ asked for the same commitment, didn't he? He said, look, you know, let the town worry about their dead. You know, look, you want to follow me? It's not going to always be easy. I think we've probably realized that now, right? It's not always easy. Right? Look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. The last book of the Bible, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this, the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these words, these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and the things which are written in this book. You think God is committed to his word? I think so. Fact that he would say at the end of the word, pretty interesting, pretty significant. Right? It's the word, the way he said it, the way he wanted it said, the purposes he wanted accomplished, that's what he wanted, and there's no changing that. You know what? I say, thank God. Right? Wouldn't it be terrible if by the stripes of Jesus Christ you were no longer healed? Right? The word says you're healed, and you know what? There's no changing that. That's good. That's a good thing. When God says that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed and say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast, and it shall be done, that isn't going to change, right? That is true, right? And we can count on it because God committed to his word. Let's go to Revelation 3. Back a few verses, chapters, I should say. So now the question being, how committed are we to God's word and to God? It's hard to, you can't separate the two, can you? Because God said he magnified his word above his name. So he's got a pretty vested, strong, vested interest in what he said. In Revelation 3, when speaking to one of the churches, it's interesting what it says here in Revelation 3:14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Right? You see, God demands commitment. Look, either you're hot or you're cold. This lukewarm thing is not a good place to be. I'm not sure. It might be true. I'll give it a chance. Lukewarm. Right. What God's spew. This is. I know this is talking to a future administration. I was just looking at the truth of hot or cold or lukewarm, right? God demands any administration, you see it, God required commitment, right? You know, what did he ask these people to do? Like, the men he called, did he demand their commitment? Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those great men, you know, did he demand commitment? Oh, yeah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17. Paul writing here by revelation. And when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness of purpose, lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay, you know, maybe, maybe not, maybe so. Right. But as God is true, he says, our word toward you was not yea and nay. Yeah, maybe this, maybe. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was what? Yea. No question, right? No waffling, not lukewarm. It was yea, right? For the all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. There's no waffling on God's part, is there? Right. He says, look, this is my son, this is what he's accomplished for you, and that is the end of it. It's not, and Paul, when he preached, didn't come and say, well, you know, this week, you might want to try Jesus Christ. Next week, we'll work on Diana of the Ephesians and see if we can get some benefits out of that. Right. No, it was, this is it. By this man, he has marked out, by the resurrection, he has marked out this man as the one. Right? Remember that, Athens? Right? He's the one. No waffling. You know, and our response, you know, ought to be, well, I don't want to waffle when I go to God's word. We want to see it's yea and amen. That is the end of it. Look at James chapter 1. At some point in your life, you know, and I don't know, I mean, for the kids, we can't make that time happen for our children, right? You can't, you know, some point in your life where you go to the Word of God, and I'm sure you remember in your life when it happened, maybe you don't, where you go, yeah, this is it. You know, it's kind of a wake-up moment. You go, my goodness, where has this all been? Where has this been? Right? It's different for the children. Some of them, they grew up in the Word. Maybe it comes in a different way. But at some point, every man, right, comes to the Word of God and says, okay, this is it. Right? There is nothing else. Right? I don't know. I can't make it happen for the kids. You can't make it happen for your children. As much as you might want to and grab their head and stick it in the Bible and say, commitment, bang the head with the. You can't, right? Someday God will call them, right? God will call them and they will respond not to you, but to him, right? They will respond to him. And that is where the commitment starts, where you go, yes, Father. You know, and the best we as parents can do is lead them to that point where they go, yes, Father, right? Yes, I hear you. I see what you want from, you know. Not, you know, that's James chapter 1, verse 4. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, or with believing, nothing wavering, not wavering. Not waffling, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, right? No, we don't want to waffle. Does God waffle? No. When God told Korah and company, you know, what you did is wrong, and something bad is about to happen to you. Did that happen? I think the earth opened up, right? And they were gone. There was no waffling. God says, you know, you believe me, and Joshua, you're going to get into the promised land. Did he go to the promised land? Absolutely, right? When God told Noah, as soon as you set your foot in that water, the sea's going to separate or divide or raise your arm, and Joshua, the Jordan's going to divide, all those promises, did they come to pass every single time? God doesn't waffle. I think it's clear. He's not a man that he should lie. And now our part is to respond by not wavering, not asking, well, I'm going to go to God, you know, and see what happens here. That's not commitment. Right? See what happens. Like, does the word say it or doesn't it say it? You know, when we have a physical problem, you know, when we need deliverance, right? You know, I might complain about it. Actually, ask Jane. I probably will complain about it, right? But you know, I'm a man and I can lie. No. Actually, it is true. Yes, I can. But, you know, I might complain about it. But what's my commitment? Is my commitment now to say, okay, yeah, I'm not feeling very well. Do I want to go to the Word of God and understand better the work of Jesus Christ on my behalf? Am I committed enough to go to the Word at that point and say, look, I don't understand it enough to see the deliverance in this point, so I'm going to go to the Word of God and try to see if I can understand it. What's my commitment, right? Do I want to go to somebody else and say, can you help me here? I don't understand this. I don't understand why I'm not getting better. Can you help me, right? What's my commitment? You know, the kids are always reading these books about the Navy SEALs and all these guys, right? That, you know, those guys, you know, when a pilot, not a pilot, that's the best bad example. I was going to say when a pilot jumps out of a plane, and that's not what happens. It's the guys riding in the back. The pilot stays in the plane. Okay, when the guys riding in the back jump out of that plane, that Navy SEAL, what? He's, I think he's committed, right? He's not getting back in that plane, right? Not easily anyway. It's going to take a lot of work. That's commitment. The commitment is you don't stop. You just keep going to it. You keep doing it. You keep going to what the Word says. You keep going to what the Word says. And there is no alternative, right? It's commitment. Are you committed? You know, should we be committed? Yeah. We ought to be committed because God is committed to His Word. There's no alternative when it comes to commitment. And some of those guys, you know, they say, you know, that's it. This is my life. You're not going to talk me out of it. They mean it, right? That's commitment. 1 Timothy chapter 2. How about prosperity? You know, you might say, well, you know, I can't seem to make ends meet. I just don't have enough. I can't get this or can't do that or whatever. Well, do I tithe? Do I give? Do I follow through on the other part of God's promise, which is to what? Expect. Or do I just, or am I into religion where I give and say, well, yeah, I know, but God expects me to give and I'm going to give. And, you know, I don't know. What's my commitment? And if I say, well, I give and I don't really want back. You know what that is? Religion. I'm not committed to His Word because His Word says, Raj, when you give, you just watch me. Watch me open the windows of heaven for you. And if I say, no, Father, I don't need the windows of heaven open, I'm fine, that's fine. That's not commitment. That's saying, you know, well, you know, your Word is not good enough for me. The Word says this, so I ought to expect what the Word says for me to expect. Right? That's what God wants. When you tell your kids, you know, when you get a job, someday you're going to get paid, you don't teach them, well, if you don't get paid, it's fine. Just, you know, go and rob a bank. Right? You don't teach them that. You know, God says, I'm committed to my Word. Believe my Word. Trust me. I'll take care of you. I'll never leave you alone. I'll never forsake you. I'll be there for you. I'll provide for you. Right? I'll press down, shaking together, and what's the word?
Running over.
Thank you. Right. That's what He says. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We should. Did I say 1 Timothy? I meant 2 Timothy. This time I've got it written down properly in my notes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If I want to enhance or help my commitment, I've got to schedule growth with God. I've got to schedule into my life the ability to grow with Him in commitment. Commitment doesn't just happen. It will never just happen. That's not the way it works, right? God says, you want to, you know, study my word, come to me, right? If I want to be committed to Him, to understand His word and committed, I need to study His word. I need to plan. I can't say, well, you know what? We'll just see. Maybe a month from now I'll be more committed. Maybe a year from now I'm going to be really excited about this thing called God, right? That's not how it works. Just doesn't work that way, right? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at this. Great verses here in Timothy. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know this verse. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That, why, the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works, ready for anything. You're ready to handle situations that arise. But how do you get that? You get it from the scriptures. How do you get that? By studying God's word. If I'm going to be committed to respond to any situation, I got to know His word, right? It's not just me saying, okay, from this day on, I'm committed, right? Yeah, what does that mean? You know, I'll tell you, we read the book there about the Navy SEAL training, right? I mean, those guys are, as soon as the time they sign that line, guess what? They're AWS is no longer owned by them, right? It is owned by the military. And they will do whatever they're told every day, day in and day out, for the next number amount of time because they said yes, right? Well, how about when I say yes to God? Is it going to be? Well, we'll see what happens. Let's see, you know. Maybe a year from now, I'm going to get really excited about this. No. God says, study my word. Know my word. My word will help you, He says. It's given, it's all profitable for you. It'll help you and get you ready for any situation you're going to face. Just like those guys in the military are ready they don't think at that point. You know what? Those guys are at the point where they don't really have to think anymore, right? They just react to the way they've been trained, right? You know, and what we're doing here, I think, is a little more important, right? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, or we're there right now. Verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, all the time. See, this is all talking about commitment, right? When do you preach? All the time, in season, out of season, when it's fashionable, when it's not fashionable. The reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou, Timothy, in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. From best understanding, we don't believe Timothy was an evangelist, right? Because when you have a gift ministry of evangelism, it's not that hard. But here he told him, you got to do the work of an evangelist, right? Commit it. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Right? That's commitment. It's not like, things were kind of cool. Some days I was up, some days I was down. We saw how it went, and, we kind of just shot the breeze and did what came our way and, whatever blew into town. No, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the right way of believing. You see, he fought. Look at the words that are used here. Do the work. I have fought. Right? That's commitment. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes determination of mind. It takes the soul. Everything. It takes everything you have to be committed. Right? It's not easy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll close there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I heard a wonderful teaching once about who got angels to minister to them in the New Testament, and even the Old Testament. I think you've heard that teaching. Where if you follow the pattern through the Old Testament, New Testament, angels came, a lot of times, a lot of angels. But who did they come to, right? If you remember just some of the records off the top of your mind, Daniel, yeah? Was Daniel committed? Yeah, I think he was. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Were they committed? They said, look, whatever happens, we are not going to bow, right? Daniel, they weren't allowed to pray anymore. What did he do? He prayed openly. He was committed. Angels, right? Paul and Silas, were they committed? I think so. Angels. Peter, right? All the records you see, God sent his ministers to help these people, and the examples that we have in the Word of God are those who were on the front lines. They were committed. So that's a lesson in itself. Right? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith or genuine believing that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am also persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Commitment, right? You're gonna get opportunities to be ashamed of what you believe. It's going to happen. I guarantee it. Right. And Paul writes, don't be ashamed, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For, and here it is, I know whom I have believed. That's what I know whom I have believed. You know, all the situations in life that you come across where, you know, whether you're sick or in need of prosperity or in need of deliverance or blessing, you can always, you know, you go back in the back of your mind and say, look, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed, right? You know, whatever it takes you to the point of being persuaded that the word is true. That's what Paul writes here. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. And I'm going to read the Working Translation version here. I am persuaded that he is able to guard the deposit entrusted to me until that day. Paul said, I am persuaded. That's it. That was his commitment. I am persuaded. I know, you know whom you've believed. Now it's up to me and you to say, I am persuaded. And there's no going back. There's no turning around. There's no waffling. This is it, right? I want to jump out of that airplane with a parachute, right? And that's commitment. I am committed to do what's necessary. I'm committed to do what's necessary to stand. This is Paul was writing here. Look, he said, you might have opportunity to fear. He says, don't worry, Timothy. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Don't be afraid. Don't ever be afraid. You just remember what you believe. You remember who taught you. You remember who you started to believe. And then be persuaded to know that he, God, will keep that which he's committed to you. And we saw from his point of view, there is no waffling on God's part. He is committed to his word. And he just asked us to say, listen, I've given you my word. I'm not a man that I should lie. I'm committed to you to it. Now you just, in response, commit yourself to my truth, right? That's it. God bless.